Welcome to the Rich Black Woman Podcast, where we empower you to be rich in mind, body, and bank. This is your girl, Yaz, and join me every episode as I discuss hot topics related to wealth and health to help you enrich your life from the inside out. Let's live richly. Hey, RBWs, I am super excited about our next guest and really excited because she is in such an innovative industry and she is here to share with us how we too can be a part of drone soccer. And what's really awesome is that she helps to make tech sexy. Her name is Samantha Scully and she is the founder and principal of Sam Scully Staffing Solutions. For more than 20 years, she's worked to build bridges between companies and highly qualified IT and drone business professionals. Sam is also a licensed FAA Part 107 pilot. I don't even know what that means, but she's going to tell us. And she is a champion of STEAM careers in the UAS industry. Sam is also a certified trainer of U.S. drone soccer, and she is currently establishing new leagues right here in Hollywood, California. Sam, welcome to the Rich Black Woman Podcast.
Hi everyone across the country, across the water, across the seas, and across, of course, the airspace.
Yes. Sam, super excited and really looking forward to learning more and all about drone soccer. Of course, I shared with you when I first thought conceptually of like, the word drone and the word soccer, I was like, huh, how does this even work? So you're here to tell us how this all works. Tell us a little bit how you got involved in drone soccer and what exactly is it? Give us the visual.
So I got involved, first of all, in the drone industry because I have a brother who is an engineer who I motivated to, first of all, go to space camp and somewhere in Huntsville, Alabama, and who end up being a basically almost like a space engineer working on Endeavour and a couple of other space shuttles. And so I am a more computer science person. I'm not an engineer. I should have been an engineer. But once he told me about how he and his family had gotten involved in the industry of UAS, unmanned aerial systems, how they were using drones to help find people, to help discover disasters, and how my nephews were getting involved, I decided that I didn't want them to outshine me. So I too decided to discover, what is this, drone type industry. My first influence was going to a drone conference in Las Vegas back in 2019. And I met association called Women in Drones, run by Sharon Rossmark out of Chicago. And I was just thrilled that, first of all, there was a woman talking about women in drones, didn't really understand it, and also just didn't understand all of these people who were there showcasing their drone materials. So long story short, I decided to follow Women in Drones, attend their meetings, which, like I say, is an association, right around the time that COVID started. And I start to learn about, what were drones, what were they doing, and, how were they instrumental in the community. And what I learned was that this was something that was a natural part for me because already I'm a woman in tech. I'm a Black woman in tech. And my role as an IT staffing company was to help other people find jobs, consultants find roles that would allow them to work in the information technology area. So adding drones to my area was a natural area. But as I started to grow and learn about drones, I decided that let me as a individual increase my knowledge. So I decided to get a certified pilot's license, which is a remote pilot's license, where they call it the FAA 107, Part 107 license, to basically learn how to fly drones, such as DJI Mini Maverick, Altels. These are mini type drone situations where you can fly. So I decided to, like I say, get a license, learn how to fly them, and just get a little bit more in depth.
That's awesome. And I know a lot of people are probably still thinking, okay, I know what a drone is. That's pretty mainstream now. And we know what soccer is. I'm in California, definitely know what soccer is. But how do we put the two together? Like, what is that?
So because I am that remote pilot, that is my professional side of life. My other side of life is because I am passionate about aviation and kids, because I too have a son, Storm Scully, who was successful in getting scholarships into tech programs. Now that he's now doing his own thing, he's an adult. Now I can work on my community and I can expose what I'm passionate about, which is aviation. So drone soccer, listen to these three keywords. I'm sorry, four. Build, code, fly, and play. So drone soccer is an educational robotics competition that is also internationally sanctioned, forgive me, I'm tongue-tied, as a team sport by the World Air Sports Federation. And these particular products and training services, they help schools adopt aerospace career path, where you have classroom enrichment programs and after-school teams. And in this particular competitive play, you have five players, team pilots, like we like to call them, who are flying quadcopter drones in a protective cage. So think about like a 10 by 20 tent. You know, you're out, you know, on a river or on a lake, but you got a 10 by 20 tent, and inside of are 10 drones, and on the left are five pilots, and on the right are five pilots, a total of 10. So they are in competition in this, flying this quadcopter drones in a protective cage, which is that 10 by 20, and they're designed for collision. Because with U.S. drone soccer, they're trying to get through the, I like to call it, through the circle. And so anyway, U.S. drone soccer is headquartered in Olympic City in U.S. Colorado Springs. And also you have about 60 national and international sports agency. But U.S. drone soccer, our program that we're starting here in Los Angeles, California, called the Hollywood League, it is a comprehensive aerospace robotics program with a director educator, that's meaning me, that we support, and we focus on getting the youth starting age 13 to 16 how to implement a drone soccer program, and teach the kids on how to engage, because it's a little bit cheaper than your traditional robotics program. And also, when it comes to future aviation jobs, we're preparing them for that as well.
That is excellent. And it's also exciting. I would think that, you know, 13 years of age is such a key critical time period in the life of a young woman, of a young man. And this seems like it would be right up the alley of young kids who are tech savvy, which most kids are these days, and creative and innovative. And let's say you're not, you know, really focused on actual physical sports, but you want to focus on the mental sport. It sounds like this would be a great fit for kids like that. How do you recruit students? How are you spreading this opportunity to kids everywhere?
Yes, that's where you have to get creative. Because I am a master networker, and because I have had a child, my son, Storm Scully, and what I've done through my program of being able to expose programs such as U.S. Drone Soccer, and I also want to talk about U.S. Drone Cadets, as I find that what I did in the past was I would basically contact the program administrator and find out, you know, like, what is the program about? And then once I found out what the program administrator, you know, they gave me details and they gave me a price tag, which is usually something that I can afford, because I am on the end where I don't like to say single parent. I am a parent who had a child who got divorced. And so, but I had a community who helped me to engage my child into various programs. And so those various programs allow me to allow my son to get up to $150,000 in scholarships. So you say, well, how does one do that? They do that by asking questions. Mm-hmm. How can I get in? What do I need to do to get involved? So now on the flip side, where I don't have the child and I am the parent going out into the community, introducing drone cadets and drone soccer, I go out basically as a one-on-one to my local people and say, hey, or schools, a YMCA Boys and Girls Club, and say, hi, my name is Sam Scully, because I've lived in the community for 22 years. My son is a prior student of your particular school or program. Who do I talk to about introducing drone cadets? Because I want to make sure that my local community understands that being in the drone industry or being in the eVTOL, electrical vehicles taken off, I can't remember the second part right now, but eVTOL, but just I want to make sure that we don't shortchange our kids. So I'm here to introduce to you drone soccer and drone programs, and who do I talk to get an audience? So I'm persistent.
Yes, persistence. And I love what you said about you asked questions to figure out how to get involved. And so that's something that really drives me too. Like, you ask questions to find out, how do you get access? How do we get access? How do we as Black people get access to these other programs and resources? And how do we make sure that we're a part of it? Because that is the future. And you mentioned, you know, that your first passion was aviation. We all know that there is a dire need for new aviators, because we've got a lot of people retiring and the industry is expanding. Just in my little bit of research, you know, non-STEM, the average non-STEM salary is something like $40,120. Well, we know that ain't going very far in California. Okay. But the average STEM salary is nearly double that, y'all. It's $95,420. And I mention that because I think what you are doing, Sam, is you're laying the foundation early on to help our young people pursue those careers that are actually in need, in high demand, and are going to profit them long-term and give them a life that's a little bit easier from a financial standpoint. So can you talk about, you know, how you mentioned these different organizations? Like, let's say I have no concept of drone soccer. I've just heard about it. I was listening to the Rich Black Woman podcast. Where can I go to see like a match and introduce my kid to it, or introduce my PTA to it? What do I do?
So first, I want to thank you for asking that question. One of the things that I came up with, because I am a Part 107 pilot, remote pilot, and also because I am a business owner, advantage, veteran, small business, DBE, and all of those things. One of the other ways that I thought about, like you say, introducing it to our families and friends is basically mentioning to them, first of all, how we categorize. When it comes to people of color and other people of color, there's been a lack of representation. And so because there's been a lack of representation, there is lots of grants and resources out there to help us off, kick these programs off. Because you have people like, let's say, I'm just going to throw out a company, Union Bank, Chase Bank, Bank of America. They all are supporters or helping to help make changes in the community, to help us have that representation. So that's one of the first ways of getting involved, is finding out specifically if you're a nonprofit, are there any funding to help us get a program like U.S. Drone Soccer or Drone Cadets kicked off in our community? Because we want to teach our kids about, you know, what it means to be in the UAS industry. And meaning, when I say UAS again, they don't say unmanned now. They say uncrewed. Listen to me. Uncrewed. UNCREW. Uncrewed. Yeah. Instead of us saying unmanned, we're saying uncrewed airspace. So we want to have representation because of the fact that people of color, Latinos, African Americans, Asian Americans, I'll just say people.
Yeah.
Okay. And then also, because of the fact that we have not had any representation, we know that by having representation, that we will have access to these higher paying jobs, because a lot of our community people who are in these low income areas, they all mostly have a phone, right?
Yeah.
And with these phones, everything that we used to can do on a 286, you can do on a phone now. You can send a resume, you can send a photo, you can send a video. People who we want to have access to this training, now they can also have access to these higher paying jobs, because when you're using a drone, and I use a DJI to fly my gigs or whatever I'm doing, I can capture my video and I can take that video and send it to you directly as soon as I'm done. And then lastly, I'm sorry.
I was just saying, wow.
And so lastly is breaching the gender gap. The other reason I got involved in U.S. Drone Soccer and U.S. Drone Cadets, because of course, Texas has always been sexy to me ever since I was 3. I want to breach the gap where we have more females involved. Because when I go to U.S. Drone Soccer, when I went to the World Games in Birmingham, Alabama, then I went to the state games in Colorado about maybe less than a month ago, we have a lack of females. So I want to encourage our females that there are people that look like me. They ain't got to be as old as me, but they look like me and they are half my age and they can do what I'm doing, because it is an ultimate and awesome activity, and it will take them to higher learnings when it comes to STEM. So I'm a supporter of STEM and an advocate because of, again, like I say, women like Sharon Rossbach and Women in Drones, people like Karen Layton of Women in Technology. I'm sorry, Women. Give me a minute. Witty, Women in Technology International. And then, of course, also Black Women in Tech, Lori Mitchell. Being an advocate for their organizations has just kind of led me to, you know, on the champion that I, too, as a woman of color in Los Angeles, California, that I, too, need to do my part and show that women, whether no matter what color they are, that it is good to be in tech, and it's even better to be in aviation.
Wow, that's awesome. I was going to ask you kind of what the breakdown is, and it sounds like it's majority men. What do you see as some of those, I guess, entry points for young girls getting into droning and aviation? And are you all working with school districts to spread these opportunities?
First part of your question, yes, we're working with school districts. Me personally, because we don't have drone soccer, nor do we have drone cadets in California, in the state of California. They've been successful with kicking it off in other states, New York, I'll just say the East Coast. So I had made it a personal challenge of me and my company to outreach to my community to start basically introducing a drone curriculum into their programs. So for instance, let's say you have the YMCA, you have the Boys and Girls Club. They have STEM programs, and those STEM programs might be robotics, but they don't necessarily have drone programs. So. Yeah. My role is to go out and to introduce them to a drone curriculum that they might consider drone soccer, or they might consider drone cadets.
Yeah. And I'm assuming you guys teach the children how to create their own drones. You mentioned that these drones are made and designed for, I don't know what you said, collision?
Yeah, they're made for, you know, basically, so think about a 10 by 20 tent, right?
Yep.
Give you a visual. You got five kids on the left, but they're outside of the tent. You got five kids on the right. They're outside of the tent. You got 10 drones in the middle. You got a circle on the left, and you got a circle on the right. So you have a striker, and you have goalies. Four goalies and a striker. So the goalies are to keep that striker from getting through the circle. So they have techniques where they will cut their engine off and drop on another drone to keep the drone too. So think about just football. You don't want that person to get into the end zone.
Yeah.
So the same thing with drone soccer. You don't want the person getting into that end zone with their drone. Because if they do, they're going to score a point. And if they score a point, that means you lost a point. So once you score that point, you got to come out of the end zone, and then you got to start all over. But you have 3 minutes. So we know the NFL, they got it better than that.
No. But
these kids, so they're learning to be pilots. They're learning teamship, because not everybody will do the same role. Some people are better strikers. Some people are better goalies, you know, as we know in soccer. So what we teach the kids are, you know, they kind of teach us what they're good at. And then we place them based on what they know how to do.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. I know this is a huge international sport now. I don't know if people were familiar with that. At least I wasn't. But to hear and to learn from you, like there's, you know, national tournaments, international tournaments. I believe drone soccer started in Korea, if I'm correct, or South Korea, from my research. Is there, you know, I know esports is really big. Is there money that folks could win from this? Like, is there, outside of careers, of course, is there any bounty ahead?
Well, I don't know if there's really any money, but I do know that it's more so of a collaborations where you get to build teams who can basically look at futures in the aviation, and eventually they can compete on an international level because they are aligned with the World Federation. Let me see here. I gotta look at my notes. The World Federation.
There's definitely higher levels.
Yeah, definitely higher level. So as of now, let's say the teams that I visited in the competitions, I attended the Colorado Games where they had four teams. They had the Top Drones, Space Kins, Colorado Space Blazers, Sky Blazers, and they had the Boys and Girls team. And so in this particular tournament, like I said, each match is 3 minutes and they have a total of four to five matches. And they get to compete against one another to ensure they know how to properly operate the drone within the drone soccer competition. And as they are better and gaining skills, then of course they become the champions and they're the ones at the top of the charts to go and compete against other drones, other drone competitions. So I know we have one going on in New York that's going to be going on, like, I think maybe next week. Don't quote me. But anyway, so our goal here in like North Hollywood, California, is to build a team so that we too can send our team members off to compete in the national level once they understand and learn the skill set.
Excellent. I love it. Well, we definitely need to have a team from Hollywood to represent the West Coast. So we're going to speak that into existence if that's going to happen.
And also we definitely have more women. And that, like I said, that was one of the reasons I got involved, because when everybody think about drones, they think there's a guy thing. And I want to tell the ladies of America and the ladies of other countries, It's not a guy thing. It's an our thing. Because just like snapping a picture with your phone, everybody has a phone, male and females. So in the drone industry, the average age is 55. So if they can use a drone to do what they're doing now with their phones, imagine what type of learning they would learn, and imagine what type of income, and imagine what type of influence, and how they can be involved in the new electronic vehicle, flying vehicles, because that's our future.
Yeah, it is.
It's going to be more than land space. It's also going to be about airspace. So my goal is to, like I say, to engage us in that. So that's why I'm here on your podcast. And I'm very grateful for you allowing me the opportunity to have a say.
Well, yeah, I was just excited to learn more about it. And it's proving to be every bit as exciting as what I thought it would be. And to your point, just the future, you emphasize like this is the future and we need to be a part of it. So thank you for the work that you're doing. You mentioned the drone cadets. Talk a little bit about that program, because I understand it reaches even younger kids.
So drone cadets is run by Tony Reed out of New York. And so what drone cadets does, they offer a series of different programs. They have the Drone Racing Club. They also have drone soccer, which is also part of one of their programs. But the top three programs that I want to emphasize is what Drone Cadets does. They have the different programs where they have partnerships with people like drone soccer. But their main programs are, they provide live instruction, online instruction, and infusion instruction, meaning that they combine like live and online. But within these programs, they have four different types of settings. Drone Cadets Flight School, where you can start at age 8 or 6. Drone Racing Club, where you're flying FPVs. FPV means first person viewing, meaning that you're going to have on goggles. And just think about like the military. I'm ex-military. I'm ex-Navy. Let's say I'm flying a Top Gun jet off of an aircraft that's out in the sea of the Arabian Ocean. So with my goggles on my face and my controller on my hands, I am going to have a real vision of me actually taking off of that aircraft carrier. So when you think about FPV, that's what they mean by first person vision, meaning you're going to you're literally in that real environment, but you're not. It's a video type thing. Then I think one of the third things they do is drone soccer, which I'm a part of that as well. And then the last thing is events, meaning that drone cadets, they will kind of give you a preview of what type of programs they have to get you engaged in drones when it comes to learning and flying. Because again, we want to reach, and I say we, because I'm part of Tony's commitment to reaching out to communities that have been marginalized. And when I say marginalized, when it comes to the internet, digital literacy, some of our communities still don't have internet access. So as we still get this internet access, we want to make sure that when it comes to aviation and the future of technology, that our communities are not left behind. So that's why I partner with people like Tony Reed, Drone Cadets, and Drone Soccer, because I'm just passionate about STEM and STEAM.
That's so wonderful. And I commend you, and I'm excited just to see how you continue to grow and expand this and reach, like you said, marginalized people. And we know that our community is a part of that. And so this is definitely a much needed initiative. And I believe you're going to do it, Sam. I mean,
I do it because, like I say, I've been trying to make tech sexy, but I know aviation, ever since I saw, Top Gun, now we got top drones. Women do this. And we don't have to be on site to do it. We could work remotely.
Wow.
or we can work off site or on site.
Oh, it's
and totally, and we can thrilling. Be older. It doesn't matter. You know, it's like the age group. You could be 18, you could be 9 years old, or you could be 55, and you could still make a difference. And you know, in this world, by learning, you know, by considering, you know, because I don't want to bully people into doing it, but I just want to say that it is a chance for a change. As Obama say, let's make a, I can't quote him, but let's just make a change and let's look at aviation.
Yes. And on that note, so if people want to make a change, they at least want to try, find out more, where can they find you and learn more?
The first place you can find me is I'm on LinkedIn because I'm addicted. I'm always on LinkedIn. Sam Scully on LinkedIn. Scully, S-C-U-L-L-Y. I'm on Instagram, Sam Scully Staffing. I'm also on Facebook, Sam Scully Staffing, one. And then lastly, you can call me. My number is 818-266-9147. I've had my number for 22 years. My grandfather told me the one thing that he taught me when I was coming to visit him when I used to be in the military, always make your age. So for instance, if you're 25, that means you need to be making $50 an hour. If you're 50, you need to be making $100 an hour. So my point to that saying is that always keep your numbers that are relevant. So that's why I've had my same number. So you can call me anytime. I might answer and I might not. Depends on who you are. Send me a text.
Yeah. No, that is awesome. I thank you so much for being open with your contact information. So you guys, hit up Mrs. Sam Scully, the founder and principal of Sam Scully Staffing Solutions. And I think you would agree that she makes tech sexy. So thank you all for listening in on this awesome, awesome episode of the Rich Black Women Podcast. And thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Yasmin. Everybody have a great weekend.
Well, that's a wrap, RBWs. Thank you for listening to the Rich Black Woman Podcast. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook. If you like what you heard and you want more of it, please subscribe to our podcast. Until next time, live richly.